This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
When Rosie Batty lost her son Luke in one of the most shocking incidents of family violence that Australia has ever publicly witnessed, her response made Australia sit up and take notice. She said, "I want to tell everybody that family violence happens to everybody. No matter how nice your house is, how intelligent you are, it can happen to anyone and everyone." And now, less than a year later, Rosie has just been awarded the Australian of the Year for 2015. She joins me on the line now. Hey, Rosie.
Hi, how are you going?
Congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
Now, look, the Victorian Police Commissioner, Ken Lay, he described you as the most, inverted commas, remarkable victim he's ever met. I just can't imagine that's a title that anyone would ever sort of imagine or choose for themselves. How does that sit with you, being known as a remarkable victim?
Look, I have such high regard for Ken Lay, and I guess feel very moved that out of all the many, many people he's met through a vast career, that he would have that regard for me.
Mm.
The word victim doesn't sit well, though, does it? You know,
yeah.
You kind of think to yourself, you are a victim at the moment in time, but you know, you don't. I know that I struggle with that term now, because obviously you pass through being a victim and you become something else, and I struggle with the correct term, because survivor doesn't seem right either. So I'm kind of on a quest to kind of work out the best way, but certainly victim no longer fits with where I'm at.
Yeah, you certainly, I guess, have been subject to events beyond your control. I mean, a year ago you were thrust into the limelight through circumstances for which, you know, you didn't choose, and you didn't engineer. How much of your life changed in that short 12 months?
In so many ways it's changed considerably. You go from being a normal everyday single parent, juggling responsibilities of bringing up your child and financial constraints and worries that everybody else has, and you're living every day wanting to do the best by your child, and that's all encompassing and the most important thing you can ever do, and completely fulfilling in so many ways. But now, you know, I don't have those day-to-day responsibilities, and I still, you know, sometimes struggle with that finality.
You know, I mean, it's not very long. It's not very long. Do you still have days when it all seems too much and you just don't want to get out of bed and face the world?
No, look, and strangely, and I can't explain why, I've never, ever, not one day felt that. I mean, I think the first few days of Luke's death, you're in a kind of a strange state of being where you kind of just surrounded by caring people and family and friends, but you know, sometimes you're lying down and I guess you're unsure that how long you've been lying for, or you're numb, very numb. But, you know, I never took Valium or tranquilizers or things to sedate myself. I never didn't want to get out of bed. And I haven't ever since. I think I felt so supported by very, very caring people, and it makes all the difference. And I guess because very quickly after I had spoken out about Luke, I did feel very gently and very well supported by the media to continue to speak out. And it's just given me a sense of purpose and meaning that could never replace Luke, but it certainly has helped me feel that I've got a meaningful life, that I can still have passion and desire to, you know, continue to embrace life and make the most of my journey.
So what does it mean to you being the Australian of the Year? What do you want to do with that?
Well, being Australian of the Year, I mean, it's, you know, when you consider that out of, what, a population of 23 million people, and you've been, for this moment in time, nominated as someone worthy of this recognition, it's really quite an incredulous place to be. And, you know, I've realised that it's not because Luke died, it's because of how I've responded to Luke's death and the difference I've made. So it really helps me feel that I am making a difference, because it's so hard, isn't it? You know, in your small circle of influence, to feel that you can make a big difference. And so to me, to feel that I have actually really, I think, helped other people who have worked for decades in family violence, who haven't seen change, who have battled relentlessly and not got anywhere with, you know, politicians and funding, to actually see how hopeful they now are that actually it is on the political agenda, it is being acknowledged as an epidemic, and it is starting to make normal everyday community conversations, question something and discuss something that was never actually noticed or discussed before. So for me, this is what Australian of the Year is about. It's actually absolutely fully going full steam ahead to maximise this platform so that it will never go back to how it used to be. That's what I think is most important. It will never go back to how it used to be. The tide has turned. The momentum will continue to roll in the right direction.
Well, help us now, Rosie, just to grow in our understanding a little bit more. What do you see as the root causes of domestic and family violence?
Look, I think that's part of the journey I've been on over the past 12 months, is really trying to understand it at a deeper level. You know, I think I had a really good grasp because I did study it at TAFE as part of my diploma in community welfare. So I felt that I understood the myths around family violence and the statistics. But the real root cause, I guess, is something I've grown to appreciate and acknowledge further, which is it's about gender inequality. It is about attitudes that, you know, men see as a sense of entitlement, you know, women are possessions. And that's where I'm still kind of trying to learn this and understand it at that deeper level.
So with that in mind, then what needs to change in Australia to really tackle domestic and family violence?
What really needs to change is attitudes towards women, and it really needs to change male behaviour. There is obviously, you know, the very good truth that women can also be violent, but it is extremely clear, and if you talk to any family violence unit at the police, local police station, they will tell you the calls are overwhelmingly men harming women. And the statistics of one woman a week being killed are perpetrators, you know, the male perpetrators. So this is a male issue, and it is about men really having that conversation with each other and again bringing it out into the open and challenging behaviour amongst their male counterparts and work colleagues and family members, and holding men accountable and saying, that's not on, mate, and I won't stand by and turn a blind eye to something that I know is not right.
We, I think, often think that it's up to, you know, government agencies and politicians to solve these kind of problems for us. But what can we, as regular everyday Australians, be doing to support your work now?
Look, I think it's really shifting that judgment and critical kind of perspective we have on victims. Because when we ask ourselves constantly, why doesn't she leave? Why doesn't she do this? Why is she doing that? What we're really not discussing is perpetrator behaviour. You know, what we can do is start to really question our judgments and responses. And, you know, I had a lady call me today from down here on the Mornington Peninsula, really concerned because she's been living in Rosebud for 25 years and a new family has come on board into the local area. And, you know, the police are called on a regular occurrence and there's three children hugely affected. And she wants to know, what can we do? What can I do? And so I think, isn't that an amazing step forward, that rather than feel it's not our business and there is nothing, I shouldn't interfere, that people are actually saying, I really don't know what to do, but I want to be able to do something. You know, I've had a phone call from the local football club in Hastings saying, we know some of our families in this area. We'd like to really reach out and have some kind of function where we can, you know, get you to talk so that you can reach some of these people that may want to hear what you've got to say that could make a difference. So to know that, you know, whether it's local sporting communities, whether it's neighbours and friends and families, all wanting to know what they can do. So it is about, I think, putting it out there and realising it is a problem that we all share. You know, we do need our systems and politicians and our organisations to support victims and hold perpetrators accountable. Mm. We definitely have to have that. We have to work towards better responses. But the change is part within all of us to really look in our own backyards and to really look at our own behaviours and seek help if we know that we're not coping or we're reacting in a way that is not healthy to our children. Know that you haven't got all the answers, and maybe some of your judgments may not be helpful, but by us all educating ourselves better, we can improve, as I say, the experience of victims so they don't feel blamed and criticised, but they feel supported. You know, that goes a long way and further than perhaps we any of us realise, because when you are a victim, you can feel very isolated and judged. Yeah. And I think that when you feel like you're supported by a community and that you're not blamed, you feel empowered to perhaps make the difficult changes you have to make. But most importantly too, there are many forms of violence, equally each as abhorrent and as debilitating as the rest. You know, we don't just go around wearing bruises. The degree of psychological abuse and power and control is extremely dangerous and also extremely difficult to extricate yourself from.
Well, just on a personal level, Rosie, I mean, conventional wisdom, and I'm sure it's true, says that losing a child is the most horrific thing for anyone to endure, and you've lost your only child in really dreadful circumstances. Yeah. There will be people listening to this conversation who are right now going through something so difficult, maybe not a similar situation to yours, but just something that is completely overwhelming. Yeah. They feel like they'll never emerge from it. What's your message to people in that situation?
For me, everybody's different and you've got to be able to be kind to yourself. And I don't know what I do and what makes me different. All I know is I have had a lifetime as well of just like a lot of people who reach the age that I am. Mm. You know, life is full of challenges and there are good times and there are bad. And it's what you learn and how you can find some joy in your life again. And that's probably something individual for everybody as to what that joy can be. But I know for myself that by aligning myself with a cause I feel passionate about and knowing I can make a difference has made, I think, all the difference to my journey with Outlook now. I don't know ahead, you know, whether I'll have bleaker times, but I just know that I do things that make me feel good. If I know it's going to make me feel good, I do it. And that's my simple mantra. And what makes me feel good is being with people who support me, make me laugh, respond compassionately if I get angry or frustrated, or are there to support me if I'm sad. You know, people for me are the most important part of a journey. And I now have new people coming into my life that weren't part of my past, but they're very stimulating and passionate people that I feel I continue to learn and grow from. Mm. And they support me in my new venture as well. And so I think it's just knowing that, you know, you can get through each day and you just take one day at a time, and I don't look too far ahead. And I feel like I will make changes at any time that are right for me when I need to make them. Mm. And I think that's, you know, you just, what is it that you need to do for yourself that will make you feel better, and whatever that is. You know, for me, it's been aligned with something like this that I can try to make a difference with, and so that I feel that Luke didn't die in vain. Mm-hmm. And that I can honour his memory and be someone he's proud of.
Rosie, all of Australia is incredibly proud of you. I've never seen such universal support that, you know, this is the Australian of the Year that we really want to honour. So thank you.
And thank you too, because, you know, like I say, that the goodness and the amazing opportunities and feeling of genuine care and compassion have just come back to me in such overwhelming ways that I can't help but feel very supported and cared for by so many people. And every day, wherever I go, I have men or women wanting to shake my hand or give me a hug and tell me how much they admire me. And, you know, that makes all the difference in my life. It really does.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today and for sharing it with all of Australia.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Rosie Batty, Australian of the Year for 2015.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.